Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Sessions G. This is Gabriella, your host. Today we have our sixth intuitive session. Six is a special number, just like all the other numbers, and we have an amazing soul with us today. I will let Shaw introduce herself, and welcome.
Thank you.
Please feel free to introduce yourself.
Thank you for connecting with me. Thank you for being here. I am Shaina or Shaw, and you know, at this moment, part of me wants to let go of any particular identification other than I am who I am. At the same time, you know, there's a deep love and connection and rootedness in the earth and the waters and all of the elementals and all of the beings with whom I'm interdependent and who allow me to be here that make me want to also honor just all the beings involved in my journey here in all timelines and all directions, in all my ancestral lines. My mother was born in Quezon. My mother, her name is Edelberta Aguiani. Quezon is a province in what is known as the Philippines. My father was born in Mindoro, which is an island south of Luzon where Quezon is on, which is also in what is known as the Philippines. And his mother and father were born in different places. His mother was born in Romblon, another island, which is a very small, cute island that is the only island of my four grandparents that I haven't visited. And it's the smallest one, Romblon. And his father was born in Ilocos Sur, which is part of Luzon, which is the island that Quezon, which is where my mother was born, is on. That's on the northwest sort of corner of the Philippines. And my mother, both of her parents were born in and around the Batangas and Quezon part of the Philippines. And I would say, like, notably, both my parents, their primary language is Tagalog, although my dad speaks another language called Bisaya. And I want to share Tagalog means of the water, which is very important. Mm. You know, the Philippines, which is a set of more than 7,000 islands that were named after the King Philip of Spain. They're, you know, they're connected by water. We are water. We're more than 80% water. And that 80% or more than 80% of water is a core part of our identity. And so I'm Shaina, I'm water. Yeah. My parents are both from a place that's deeply, deeply connected to the ecosystems of water that allow us to be. And even here, I was born in Chikoronto, which is, this is the translation that I've come to know. It's Ganyageha, for where the trees stand in the water. And, you know, being born here on lands that have been stewarded by many, many original peoples from the Anishinaabe to the Huron-Wendat to the Petun to the Seneca, to the Haudenosaunee, which, you know, there's so many histories that I'm only beginning to learn. There's such a deep interconnectedness to the land. You know, what one of my elders in the Philippines, who is a wisdom keeper of a long lineage of medicine women, you know, so many teachings that I got to connect through her with earlier this year when I was staying with her for around 5 weeks along with four other sisters. And one of the primary teachings that stays with me to this day is around just the earth element in our bodies. Like, we have so many different relatives in the spirit world, in the galactic world, the celestial world, and like all ecosystems that we can only begin to imagine. But what makes us different is that we have earth elements in our bodies, and water elements. But earth elements and water elements, these elements are such integral parts of who we are. And so I want to honor that I'm all of these elements, that there is like huge infinite histories that precede me that I'm only beginning to perceive from both my lineages and from, you know, the lineage of like land that I was born here in Toronto, specifically Scarborough, where I met you through our living with one another. But yeah, that's at this moment who I feel called to share I am.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing all of that. Thank you. That was beautiful. My heart and my inner child both feel so excited hearing you share all of that, and so warm, and kind of like I'm listening to a sister that I look up to and admire. I find it so incredibly beautiful that you are integrating so much of ancestry and the history and these earth elements and water elements and you know, your legacy and the legacy of the environment around you. Just like, for me, it seems like you're integrating all of these things, and it, that's such a beautiful journey. And I truly, truly, like, I look up to you for it. Like, it's what inspires me to do more of that in my own journey. I don't know if proud is the word, or I'm just so happy that you are who you are, and you sharing that is just it makes me feel really good. So thank you for sharing all of that. That was such an awesome introduction.
Thank you for asking me. And I just want to share too, like, you know, I'm a reflection of you. Like, we're literally one another. And, you know, like, having these conversations with anyone, with you, is so affirming and so, like, reciprocating and reflecting to me that I get to even, like, reflect on who I am and have that reflected back to me as something that feels affirming. So just, like, affirming you and the mirror that we're holding up for one another, and yeah, just again, deep gratitude for these conversations, because you know, okay, what's coming up right now before we go into other stuff is, like, you know, I've been thinking a lot about how the universe in many indigenous cosmologies, like, one of the elements that brings together different creation stories is sound. Like, we are sound. I am sound, I am vibration. And when we get to actually, like, call into existence and affirm who we are, like, with autonomy, self-determination, say, this is who I am, within a world that often just, like, ascribes narratives of who we are, and sometimes in unconsensual ways, which is something I think a lot about in terms of even, like, identity, like, you know, for a long time, and I'm actually beginning to shift. Like, I've identified really strongly as Filipino, Filipinx, and there's different even variations of that word, like, with starts with a P, starts with an F, there's an X for gender, for, like, gender diversity. There's, like, all these ways to, like, beautifully, like, you know, transmute this word to make it a self-determining word to reflect the variety of ways that people want to relate to Filipino identity. And at the same time, as I acknowledge and I find so beautiful the different ways I've related to this identity over time, I'm also so grateful that I am aware that, number one, in some ways, what we call ourselves, you know, there's a spell to it. And I think I shared a post with you about the spell of words, and in some ways, like, whether or not I identify as Filipino, you know, it is what it is. And at the same time, as I become more aware of, like, the vibrational fortitude of words, I'm really excited to lean more into, like, identifying as Tagalog or Taga-Ilog, which are actually more inherent to the archipelago prior to, you know, the entrance of King Philip of Spain, which, you know, language, the beauty of indigenous languages is that they directly, locally reflect back relationships with the land of that, that locality. And the inflections of every syllable, this is something that, like, you know, I've had the privilege to like learn from like indigenous folks of Turtle Island, specifically in different ways. Like Leanne Simpson speaks about this. There's a beautiful yearly gathering called, I think, Healing Turtle Island that I got to go attend online this year. And I forget the name of the main organizer. Hopefully I'll be able to remember by the end of this talk. But, you know, she speaks a lot about the syllables and the frequency of language. And like, that really affirms the relationship with the land. And so as I reflect more on like, okay, I care about my identity and what that calls in terms of my relationship to the land, more than other things. And so I've just been like really transitioning into like, I don't want to identify as Filipino anymore. And not because I don't love and feel deeply in kindred connection with my siblings who are from the same, you know, archipelago as me. It's not because of that. It's not because I have any shame around being from a lineage of this geography. It's more like there is a spell cast in words. And I want to be able to affirm the relationships that I want to affirm through words. And I'm like, Tagalog and being of the water and from the water, or of the river and from the river. There's different ways when I understand Tagailog, but is like more affirming of my identity than any like archipelagic, like sort of like homogenized, you know, like name that was named after someone who came to conquer and to, you know, extract and to, you know, just to do the things that, and so just, I want to honor that too. That's definitely coming up, like the power of sound and words. And in, just in relation to this conversation, like being able to say these things relationally and have them witnessed, because I speak to myself about these things all the time. Like I think about them all the time in my head, and that's beautiful, but it's a different frequency and like transmutation of energy when I'm like getting to be witnessed and get to talk about it with like you. So just deep gratitude for like asking and like listening. And yeah, just deep gratitude.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's such a pleasure to listen. I just have to say one, every time I hear you say Tagalog and of the water, my face reacts, like my mouth literally widens and my cheeks are up and I'm smiling. It's just so beautiful to hear. It's like poetry to my ears. That said, like the way I see it, just want to share. I imagine this story, this tale, if you will, of the self, you know, and I chose this body and I chose this life and I chose this, and again, just to preface, this is a story for me, not necessarily what applies all across the board. But so I chose this body and I chose this life and I chose this consciousness and this experience. And when I did that, it's sort of like from where, like the location of my origin, from where I stood in that place, between there and here, I added all of these kind of like along the path, if you imagine like a long one sort of linear path, I added all of these identities, for example, as well as other things, but these identities. And, you know, some of the identities that are like most recent are the ones of, you know, I'm Canadian, Ethiopian, I'm, you know, African, I'm this, I'm that. And as I sort of move further and further back into, like further back to that location of the origin of myself, that's when the identities, start to shift and I start to transition to sort of deeper meanings. Like an example of if I were in your shoes, that would be the Tagalog of, you know, of the water. And so like for me, what I'm noticing in my life currently in my journey is that in order for me to return to my origin, if you will, I can't like go around some of these identities. I have to move through them and integrate them and see that they are, you know, an extension of that sort of creative original energy that went out and spread and created. And so I'm like, for me, it's a process of just integrating and embodying all of these different kinds of identities and things, not from a place of attaching to them, or because I think in the past I most certainly did attach to them, but rather from a place of integrating the truth of their being, that they are a part of my creative energy that extended out and took on these different forms. And through this like walk back to my origin, you know, as I walk back to my origin and I take them all and embrace them and love them and cherish them and see them for the creative energy that they are at their core, because for me, they are just different forms and different expressions of that creative energy. I'm kind of like picking them up on this path back to my origin, back home. I'm picking them up and putting them back inside myself, and eventually I'll reach my origin, and that's where I am, that whole being that now has all of the creative energy integrated within myself as you know, holistically, and I can then look forward again and see, you know, I once started off on this path from this place that I call home. And, you know, I took parts of myself, which is my creative energy, and I placed them in different places along this path. And I gave them different forms and different energy, different expressions. And that's what they all are. And I know that in the past, I've definitely, through my journey, I've either, you know, felt a lot of resistance for these different kinds of parts of my experience in this, like as this human being, parts of my identity, parts that were just, they are part of me because I experienced them. And, you know, I've either resisted them or I've tried to take them on like they are exactly who I am. And now I'm sort of in a place of just integrating it. Integrating on my way back, on my walk back home. Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. And I love hearing integration, and yeah, everything you're sharing around integration, because, you know, we are who we are, mm-hmm. You know, and like, interestingly, when you're sharing what you're sharing, I also think of, like, you know, what's known by some people as like the Akash, or like the Akashic records, mm-hmm. and like this sort of living library of all of the parts of ourselves that have expressed themselves throughout different dimensions and timelines, continuing to just culminate into deeper wholeness and always being whole at the same time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a person called Miriam Hasna, and she speaks through her like New Earth Mystery School. She speaks a lot about like the cosmic play that we're in, and our, you know, the different embodiments that we get to channel, just to be able to experience this like miracle that is like life as humans. And, you know, we've all been so many different incarnations in all of our lifetimes. And the choice in this specific lifetime to incarnate as we've come is both like, it's both like a cosmic accident and a very intentional miracle. And like, you know, I feel like when I ask myself these questions of like, why does it even matter? Like I get to these nihilistic like points of like existential reflection where I'm like, oh my God, there's like when I get freaked out sometimes. I'm like, okay, everything is happening in this world that feels so viscerally activating. Like it activates me in these deeply visceral ways. And then I ask myself like, why does it matter? And then what I've been returning to recently is because, and, you know, whatever this means it means something. It's like, it matters because I'm free. It matters because I have the freedom to be, even within all of the systems that are in an interplay with me, like, I choose to come back to freedom. And these, and I want to relate to my, whatever my identity is, and I want to relate to it with freedom. And so I'm just continuing to go back to that, because sometimes life is just like, you know, beyond adjectives. And you know, like also, like, you know, your choice to say, like, I'm integrating is like a is for me to hear like a beautiful choice, because you're choosing that. That's how you're relating to your journey, which we can all relate to in so many ways, all of which are valid, all of which are part of like our unique like learning journey in this lifetime. And I resonate deeply with that integration. And so, just really appreciate hearing that.
Sometimes I don't know if this will resonate with you or not, but I'd love to know if it does or not. But sometimes I just feel like I've been gifted this like incredible, miraculous miracle of just being, and like that choice for freedom, that choice of freedom, like so many choices that just feel like these amazing gifts. And I just like, you know, sometimes I'm just scratching my head, like, you know, how did I get so lucky? Like, why am I so lucky? Like, this is just such an incredible place to be. Mind you, also, sometimes I've certainly like had many moments in my life where I felt like things were completely against me. There are also moments where I just, I feel this deep sense of gratitude for life itself and for this experience. And, you know, it's like sometimes that deep sense of gratitude I identify with as being a part of. And then sometimes it's so overwhelmingly a feeling of being gifted this. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. And, you know, it's what's coming up for me, because gratitude is, that gratitude is so present in my life. And while it's present, it's also painful. I think sometimes it's like when you hear like, yeah, like that's like gratitude. It's like there's sometimes this ascription to it that it's this like beautiful feeling, that it's like, you know, that it's pleasurable, that it's in a state of like happiness. And, you know, when as I break down my own experiences of gratitude, it's like really painful. And sometimes, at the same time as you feel grateful, it's, you know, just, I'm like returning to like reflections on my experience with the lineage of Vipassana, which is a form of meditation that we've spoken about. And it's one of the main teachings that I sort of receive from it is the gift of observation, the gift of observing any sensation, any emotion that comes up. And, you know, within the practice, it's not necessarily said to be grateful for it, but just to observe it. And I feel like for myself, like just that capacity to observe, even when it's painful, like even when it's like the most, you know, the most traumatic sensations that are like surfacing, just that capacity to observe, there is a gratitude there that I can just observe that feeling. And it doesn't mean that it feels good. What I'm trying to say is like there's a spectrum of like sensations and emotions that can come up with gratitude. And I feel you know, I think there were prior times when I felt like this judgment towards this, like, just, you know, gratitude, where I was like, like gratitude, like there's like pain and suffering and like oppression, and then I'm like, yeah, no, there is, and those things in gratitude, And this is not to say that people should do this. It is just like how I experience my own practice of gratitude. It's like that capacity to just observe and be in gratitude, that you can observe those sensations and not necessarily attach to or identify with them as like things that we need to chronically identify with. Is a lot of where I'm like experiencing gratitude within all of the pain and all of the happiness and all of the spectrum of like experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I get what you're saying. I know for me, I was talking to someone about this yesterday. For example, when I get sick, like if I catch a cold or something, and even in the most like, you know, horrendous moments of feeling ill, there's still a degree of gratitude that's present or that's like available for me to access, in like with all of that, with the, you know, I don't know, like my throat really hurts or I can't breathe, or, you know, there is a tiny, even if it feels very tiny, there's a tiny bit of gratitude present in that, like there is in every moment, just as there is like in my perspective, there is a degree of everything present in every moment. Mm-hmm. And I think we experience some of those degrees like amplified slightly more than others, but that doesn't mean that everything else has sort of disappeared or gone away. Mm-hmm. Everything else is still in that container, the container that is, you know, this planet or the various ecosystems. Everything else is still present. We're just not necessarily present to all of them at the same time. And so I find that even with anything, there is gratitude is present just as much as pain is present. And it's just, it's for me, it's a matter of which one I'm experiencing more so than the other, or which one I'm more present to, or maybe just being present to both. I wanted to bring something up because I feel this is something I would love to talk about. So for me, one of the things I've come to terms with or made peace with was this narrative in my head that, I think in the beginning of my spiritual journey, if you will, or my journey of getting, knowing myself or knowing anything, not that I know anything now, but in the beginning of that, at some point during that period, I did a lot of spiritual, what people call spiritual bypassing. I did a lot of not wanting to face sadness, not wanting to face anger, not wanting to face these things, these emotions that I felt I was supposed to label as negative, or, you know, some sort of indication that I wasn't whole, that I was broken, that I needed healing. And over time that changed. And since those shifts have been occurring for me, I've been far more open and accepting of, you know, the depth of these various experiences like sadness and anger, the depth of that within myself, that I'm able to carry that I do carry incredible depths of all of the feelings and emotions and experiences. And just being accepting of that and embracing that has really opened me up to experiencing things with a lot more depth. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what it feels like to me, with a lot more depth. And so the last few days I've been working with money and this whole thing that I call money, and making peace with it. Mm-hmm. Because I realize for me, I've used money as a sort of like a to fuel these blocks within myself that keep the natural flow of my, you know, truth and my being from just flowing out and connecting with everything around me, all the ecosystems around me. And so that's one sort of way of relating to money that I've carried, as well as, you know, many other things that I've carried in relation to it. And all of that I kind of put under one category, which is I've been at war with it. I've just always been at war with it, or not always, but it seems that way. And so I've been really coming into this this place of just making peace with it, asking for forgiveness for having been at war, forgiving myself, thanking, loving, and just trying to make peace with it and making peace with all of these different blocks. And again, that goes back to integrating all of these different ways of relating that, you know, I've moved through and moved through, as you know, with my energy and with my creative energy and with my being and my focus. And so the long, just to kind of wind this back, I now realize that there is a depth of sadness that has accompanied this way of these different ways of relating with money. And now that I'm open to really holding space for that depth, and I'm in a place where I'm able to be present to that, I realize that, you know, there's quite a bit of sadness there's quite a bit of sadness that's carried just within this relationship with something like money. And that's been very eye-opening for me. And also it's given me the opportunity to love myself I already love myself, but to deepen that love for myself, because I'm now able to see the depth of sadness within me even more. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? There's like that level of that depth of sadness that I am now open to being present to and looking at is now reflected in the equivalent amount of love that I now feel. So that depth is now, there's like as much depth as I'm sort of tapping into in sadness, I'm also tapping into in love. Because of that. And that's a really beautiful thing. And I just wanted to share that and hear your thoughts and your feelings and whatever comes up for you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. Like the spirit of what you just shared is something I've actually been deeply reflecting on in the past while. And specifically on this, you know, something that within Vipassana is called like equanimity, this capacity to observe without judgment. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking about this specifically in relation to when you're entrusted in an experience from the universe, mm-hmm. and you experience emotions in relation to that experience, and there are a variety of ways that you can respond to those emotions. And what I have been learning is that as I like relate to the experiences that I'm experiencing with equanimity, rather than with judgment, rather than with attachments to it being good or being bad, or it being something that I need to create more of or create less of. When I approach with equanimity any of those experiences, including sadness, including, you know, my gosh, relationship with money is a whole other beast that I'm also grateful that you open up. But whether it's a relationship to money, I have experienced that when the universe observes that you are equanimous about the experience, mm-hmm. it will entrust you with greater depths of experience, because it observes that you will not cast judgment upon the experience as being good or bad, that you will not try to that you will not become addicted to, or you will not become extremely averse to the situation. And, you know, that that might sound a bit macrocosmic, but, you know, maybe to bring it back into the micro, into the realm of like intimate embodiment, like what, when I was, you know, in my meditation, like there were certain experiences that, you know, I got to this day in my meditation and I was like there, I was like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I just want to sleep. I was like, the first 2 days I was actually like, oh my God, I think I want to leave. Like, I'm so tired. Like, I'm falling asleep while meditating. But, you know, it's such a beautiful practice of, it's so, and I say beautiful, there's so many different types of beauty. The beauty of this for me in one femme manifestation of beauty is like the technicality. There's like an arithmetic that is so precise in terms of how you are invited to meditate. And that arithmetic can be grounding, and it can also be very irritating if you like if you don't want to do it. Which at certain points I was like, oh my God, like just have to keep like. Anyways, but as I went through that process, and I would say like midpoint into the process, I just decided, okay, I'm just gonna actually be in alignment with this arithmetic. I'm going to allow myself to embody, even though I feel somewhat resistant. And, you know, I had been in the first 3 days, there was like ebbs and flows of actually choosing to be in alignment with that flow that was being invited with me. But I think by the fifth day, I really got into the flow. And, you know, I also want to really contextualize. I feel like there's so much divine cosmic alignment that is always around us. And when we're more in intimacy with the earth, in a way that is not industrialized, in a way that is not deeply mechanized, or you know, like laden with like electromagnetic fields, that that inherent rhythm in the universe, you are more able to tune into. And in this meditation space, you know, I was in a rural space in the Philippines that was very, very in its own space, and very connected to the earth in a particular way. And, you know, by the fifth day, I think there were certain experiences that as the universe observed my equanimity of it, it allowed me to experience more depth of experience, because I had no choice but to be equanimous, in the sense that I was at a silent meditation retreat. And if I decided to scream because there was something that I saw, like, I think, anyways, there wasn't choice, even though there's always choice. I just say that kind of like a... In its own way. But, you know, there were certain things that I can say now in retrospect, like, because I chose to be equanimous and not to be in particular types of attachment to the experience, I think I was entrusted more with experiences and more depth in what I could experience. And I noticed that now with like my relationship with different things, it's like, I could choose. And sometimes I do choose to be really attached or to be really averse to certain things. And that has its own set of implications. And, you know, it's just a feedback loop that we're constantly feeding with the universe of like, okay, do we trust? Do we trust? Do we not trust? Okay, that's okay. We don't need to trust. It's okay. But, you know, as I'm hearing you speak also about the depths of experience, it's like, you know, within this construction that's duality, there's also like this, you know, happiness, sadness. There's like... There's all of these dualities in terms of emotions and experiences, and they actually are just like mirrors of one another. They're like, they're waves that we experience in quote unquote opposites, you know, like the dark and the light. And, you know, it's interesting because I've noticed as well that when you can experience the depth of one, the depth of the other, you can also experience to the degree that you can experience them both with equanimity, the depth to which you can experience both of them expands. And it's so profound because you realize how infinitely sensational and possible everything is, and how like borderless everything is. But, you know, it's a practice. It is a practice to be in equanimity with experiencing both of those quote unquote dualities. So yeah, it's like constantly just allowing myself to practice that.
My God, what a beautiful reminder. That was such a moment of remembrance for me. Thank you. That was just that was beautiful. It feels like as you were speaking, it just I felt myself go into such a meditative state, very zen, and just really just feeling the remembrance of that. It's just so beautiful. Thank you. I feel that you have just offered me such a beautiful reminder. Thank you. And thank you, you know, whatever contributed to that.
Thank you for listening. And thank you, to the lineage of Vipassana. You know, there's so many different lineages of meditation, and whatever resonates for people and is in alignment with what they need at that moment in their life, like, just listen to that. You know, I think one of the reasons that Vipassana has been, and I'm not actively go do Vipassana, but I think one of the most, and, you know, I just want to contextualize Vipassana. It's interesting, like, when we decide to name things, like, I feel like there is ways to practice Vipassana, and then there is Vipassana. And Vipassana, I will say, within my own experience of it, there's something unique in that you're in silence. There's something unique in that there's this lineage of meditation where for hundreds of years, within a system of Dharma where you pay what you can to participate in a meditation retreat, or I don't want to call it a retreat, words are words, but like in a meditation experience for 10 days, and you give what you can, and you are fed, and you're provided a place in Mother Earth that is very, very, for the most part, serene. In the Philippines, you could they changed the meditation center, and you can like hear karaoke because it's the Philippines. But like before, you couldn't hear karaoke the first time that I did the retreat in a different center. But it's a particular lineage that, you know, meditation is informed by the ecosystem in which you're meditating. Even though you have your internal ecosystem that's sovereign, that you can, you know, you can choose to experience and be in your body, there's also a very particular part of, whether it's meditation or just being alive and going through your day to day, that is informed by like your earthly context. And so just like, you know, always inviting myself to also just like, how do I be more in like a relationship of reciprocity and intimacy with the earth? Because there's something about that that is inherently beyond any modality of any meditation, beyond any modality of any healing. Like, the earth is our medicine. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I'm curious for you, if I can ask you a question too, because we haven't spoken in a while, but like, where are you? Where are you? How do you feel like you're disinforming your
on this planet? I am in Brampton, Ontario.
Okay.
Of this planet. Yes. I've been here for maybe a couple of months, maybe about a month actually. It's been beautiful. Where are you? Because I are you in Mexico?
I'm in Scarborough.
Okay. Okay. It's kind of like we're on the opposite ends of the GTA.
Yeah.
Sort of, I think. I'm not sure. Brampton is where I grew up, kind of. It's where I spent most of my teen years. And it's where I, you know, first discovered meditation. And I like sharing this with people because there's something truly beautiful. Though, you know, on one level, it's sort of like, oh, I'm back in where I was as a 17-year-old. It seemed like much has changed for me. It kind of seems like I'm in some ways very similar to that 17-year-old self, and in other ways very, very different. And what I'm finding beautiful is that this is a place where I used to go and sit by the creek or the parks, and I'd sit and meditate for hours. This is where, you know, I spoke to the moon on many, many nights. This is where I looked up at the stars and felt a calling. I had such beautiful experiences with earth, with the planet, and it's really it's beautiful to be back here now, and as what I am now. And you know, I'm excited to take this as an opportunity to revisit those spaces and reconnect with that past self, the me that was there then, and reconnect with the energy that I've left behind, and the energy that that part of me is. And it's been a really beautiful thing. It's certainly, again, this is another example of how there's that depth of gratitude for this beautiful opportunity that this is, being back in Brampton, while also there's that depth of holy shit, I'm 30 years old and I seem to be in the same position I was in at that time. How did that happen? So there's both happening. But yeah, it's a good feeling. It's a good place to be. Yeah, thank you for asking where I am.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that you are where you need to be, and about your connections with the moon and the creek. I hope that Brampton is treating you as you want to be treated.
It is. I went for a walk just before we connected for this podcast, and I don't know if you've been out there, but my God, what a beautiful day out. It's just so beautiful out there. That's all I kept feeling on my way home. It's so beautiful. I can't wait to just go back out there and just be with the city, be with the planet, be with the air, be with the trees. And one of the things I occurred to me, I was walking to Tim Hortons to get myself a coffee. I woke up pretty late today. I mean, late, early. That's up for debate. So I went and I had my really big headphones in, and it's got a very long wire and kind of like the coiled wire at some point. I was on the sidewalk and I could have, continued walking on the sidewalk and then kind of hang right and walk to the door to Tim Hortons. Instead, I chose to make like a shortcut through the little path with the plants. And when I did that, my cord got stuck in the plant. And so I had to stop and turn around and untangle it. And as I was doing that, I realized, holy shit, how many times do we walk past the plants? And, how many times do I walk past these plants and I don't stop and have a conversation with them? I don't stop and just look at them. I don't stop and just touch them. I don't stop and just be with them. And nature is all around me. And so often I'm just walking past nature in so many ways, and the beautiful ways in which she manifests. And I don't commune with her. I don't commune with the plants and the trees and not as often as I could. And it was just such an interesting reminder. Like it was almost like that plant was, tangled my earphones and then said, hey, I'm here, I'm over here, and I'm here, will you talk to me, be my friend? And I really felt that. I felt, wow, I was just gonna walk across this path and walk past these plants, had my earphones not gotten tangled up, I probably wouldn't have looked down to just greet the plant. I don't know. That was just such a beautiful moment for me of like, greet the plant. It like it's right there. Like it's right there.
I'm glad that you inextricably greeted the plant. I'm glad, and I also now feel inspired to go out because I've been in like kind of obligatory quarantine since coming back Mexico. So I literally have not been out since like last Friday. Mm-hmm. But part of it is like, wait, am I actually allowed to go outside and just take a walk? And, you know, I know at the end of the day, if I did want to just take a walk, I could. But I love hearing you being outside walking and noticing the plants. Mm-hmm. As I hear that, I'm also just reminded of like the more intimate layers of just noticing our bodies too. Like there's such an ecosystem in our bodies, and there's so much to realize in our bodies as every single plant, medicine, mineral that we could ever possibly imagine is already, by virtue of our interconnectedness, is already in our body, even if it's like the smallest subatomic presence, it's already in our body. And so, as I'm here also in quarantine and in isolation, it's been interesting just also like recognizing, as somebody who takes a lot of supplements for different like health issues I take a lot of medicine. and over the years, I've been also taught in various ways that the spirit of the medicine already lives inside of me. And so sometimes mm-hmm. I just call in the medicine, like I call in the spirit of, I've been coloring in the spirit of benzoin. Mm-hmm. like it just came to me one day and I was like, I'm being invited to connect with benzoin more. And just like all of the medicines that we could possibly perceive, like we are already those medicines in some form. And so I'm reminding myself this as much as I'm telling anyone else this, because I'm like kind of here in quarantine and I'm like, I want to go to Healthy Planet and get like milk thistle. And I'm like, okay, Shaina, it's okay. Like you already have milk thistle inside of you. Call in the milk thistle. And, at the same time, when the plants are right around you too, yeah, like it's such a beautiful reminder just to notice those things that are always there. And always in our bodies as well. And mm-hmm. that's part of what comes up when you share that. And I also just have a very funny image of, thank you for sharing your story. Basically, it makes me laugh too.
it definitely made me laugh. What's a moment that you've had that's sort of like parallel to that? Not necessarily with plants, but with anything. What's the moment that was kind of like, oh, thank you for this beautiful reminder, you know, life, universe, or whatever.
My breath. Yeah. My breath. It's amazing. Like, I recently learned the history of, you know, how certain types of psychedelics in the Californian state, I think this was in the 80s, were like banned. And this was the time when in California specifically, like breath work became very blossoming as a way to, I mean, I'm sure for many reasons, but from what I heard in the specific teaching that was being shared with me, it was like a time when breath work within California also was being reinvoked as a way to reconnect with oneself, and in ecstatic ways, mm-hmm. as an alternative to like psychedelics that were being banned at the time. But you know, I share that specifically because breath is so powerful. Mm-hmm. It's something nobody, I say this and I'm remembering also the conditions when this is not true, but in a lot of ways, breath is the one thing that people cannot take away from us. If our sovereignty is being respected, if our safety is being respected, our breath is so rooted in us and something that we have so much, like so many ways that we can connect to honor our bodies and to, you know, to remember freedom in our bodies. And something that also many, like I take for granted, and only over the past few years have I really connected with breath work, and still learning, still such a baby in terms of breath work, but still something that I'm just realizing the like profound power of, and something like with Vipassana, but also just like in my day to day, like realizing that there are certain patterns of withholding my breath, of suppressing my breath, that have been so defaultly wired into my body that I don't even notice. And when I notice them and allow them to be expressed, like allow like the kind of unwiring of them to happen through just noticing for long periods of time, this is what I've been able to do through like my, I think the second time that I did Vipassana, I realized that there was a specific breath pattern that was so like suppressed and wired in my body. And like when it allowed itself to be expressed and released, like I was breathing in a whole different way that was so natural, but felt so different. And, you know, people, you know, we can, so many scientific studies and so many practices within like indigenous communities, like I'm thinking of something called Ulu, a breathwork called Ulu that I got to participate in a Zoom call of from somebody who's in Hawaii, who, you know, can trace his lineage back to Lemuria, not as a mythological construction, but as an actual lineage within his family. And one of the breathwork practices that he shares with people is called Ulu. And, you know, with Ulu, there are so many, I mean, I'm not going to, I'll just say Ulu, U-L-U for people who want to like explore this type of breathwork. But, you know, Ulu is something that's so profound and powerful. And it's not just Ulu, there's so many different types of breathwork that people have learned about and are practicing that can really allow us to heal deep trauma in our bodies, deep, deep trauma, sexual trauma, trauma in the full spectrum of trauma. And I'm still learning and realizing how powerful and how not only powerful, but how it's like so free. Like we have our breath within us all the time to work with, to play with. And, you know, when I also look at, you know, teachings around the breath being our spirit, you know, you can live without water for a period of days, you can live without our earthly elements of food for a number of days, but breath, you know, we cannot live without breath for, you know, there's a number of different numbers, but we cannot live without breath for a very, very short period of time. That's our spirit. And to be able to reconnect with your spirit through connecting with your breath is really, really profound. And so that's for me the practice that I'm kind of like still like lazily, but like intentionally like reconnecting with as a way of like intimacy with self and like sovereignty and sovereignty building within myself.
Yeah. Breath is so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Breath is such a beautiful thing. Breath for me is just out of this world and incredibly just amazing. I know, like, I don't know if I've told you, because when we lived together, I was certainly interested in doing Vipassana, and I hadn't done it yet. So I don't know if you're aware, but I did end up doing it. Are you aware of that?
No.
Yeah, so I did end up doing it, and it was definitely an experience that I cherish, and certainly for me, it I know that Vipassana is a practice that I would like to continue doing, not in the sense of doing those specific, like the specific meditation methods throughout my day or my year, but certainly wanting to do the 10-day meditation experience once a year at least. So that's kind of something that I'm you know, integrating into my life. But that said, for me in meditation, very, very often when I follow the sort of intuitive call within myself, it often brings me back to breath. Mm. You know, it will start somewhere like being present to an emotion, being present to a bunch of thoughts, being present to just noise in my head, or being present to a physical sensation like anxiety, or, you know, whatever it is. Very often when I am present and I just go with it, the deeper I go, I end up being back at breath. I end up being like just present to breath, and there are these moments where like that focus or that awareness of breath is so sharp and clear, and it's this like incredibly profound moment that I just have no words to describe. It's such a beautiful thing. And that's part of why I think breath is so beautiful. And also what I noticed, like, for example, in a few meditations a few days ago or a couple days ago, what I notice is when I'm working on something, and I'm working on either making a shift or I'm just working on integrating something, whatever it is that's happening, as I work through that and do that, because that's kind of the process that I use. It's a very, like, repetitive sometimes. It's intuitive and dynamic, and it's also very repetitive and mechanical, kind of like just repeating and reaffirming something. It's like stirring the pot more and more of those ingredients. And then at some point I arrive in a sort of headspace where the thing that I was, like, the intention that I was holding and carrying out is now traveling through my breath. And in those moments, what I imagine is with each breath, my breath carries that intention, and it carries it in and out, and it carries it for me out into the space around me and back in to me. And it's like the breath becomes like Aladdin's magic carpet almost. That's what it feels like. And suddenly the intention of what I was working with is on this magic carpet, and it's being taken out into the world, and it's flying in the air, and it's coming back to me. And that's sort of like two of the ways in which I relate to breath, and it's a part of my life. And yeah, it's such a beautiful thing. And it really is, for me, I think it really is one of the most profound things. It's incredible. A, it keeps us alive. B, I think there's so much embedded in breath itself that I'm only now beginning to really tap into or scratch at or dig through. Mm-hmm.
I'm on that journey with you, and I if you have any resources that you'd recommend, I'm open to receiving. It's interesting. The most specific and like easily integrated breathwork teachings I've received is through like a sacred sexuality course that I was taking this year with Layla Martin. Layla Martin is this, like, one of my favorite, and I'm just saying this marker because there's not a lot of, actually, I realize over the years, there's not a lot of folks, like white women, who I found I really resonate with. And that's mm-hmm. that's because of my own journey. But she is, like, my favorite white woman. she's a sexual health and also, like, a sacred sexuality mentor. And she's quite well known. She has a lot of free YouTube videos. And after like a year of kind of learning from her YouTube videos, I felt like I really wanted to heal a lot of my relationship to my own sexuality. And and I'm still on that journey. And I decided to do like a paid course with her. And she does a lot of, she's actually a survivor of childhood sexual assault, and, you know, shares a lot about her journey with healing through breathwork and through other ways. And it's interesting because I feel, you know, it sort of in tandem with the way that our relationship to our bodies more broadly and breath has, you know, not a lot of the people in my life, I would say, are intimately, like, practicing this, like, deepening of relationship with our breath. Or at least, you know, I think I definitely have friends who are like yoga, you know, but teachers and who do this work, but I feel like there's still a lot of deepening that myself and other people in my lives are still at the, you know, just at the baby steps of. And and, you know, when I also just reflect on how, you know, so many of the systems we live in, and our own choice to be within them, you know, I'm finding myself noticing when I, like, want to externalize systems or externalize things that I know are also inherent within me and that I choose at times. So I'm finding myself really noticing that and wanting to acknowledge that. But one of those things is also like how, for those of us who are femmes or women and even men, like all genders of people are so deeply impacted by systems of like gender oppression that invite us to be in disconnect with our bodies and to not be in consent with our own bodies on a very fundamental level, let alone other people's bodies. And when you're connected to your breath, I mean, I can say this from my experience, when I'm connected to my breath, I can sense what feels like truth and what feels like freedom, what feels like respect in my body. And so, you know, while on a microcosmic level, it's like your breath, it's like your breath is the core element of connection to all other relations. And so as you know, and I'm, you know, as I learned that, you know, when I was in Layla's course as well, it's like when we're able to connect intimately with like what feels like sovereignty in our breath, what feels like freedom, what feels like healing and comfort in our breath, we can discern that on all other scales with our relationships with other people, with our relationships with ourselves in other ways. And so yeah, it's just such a beautiful, free, accessible, like tool and like life-giving force that allows us to be in relation with all other beings in like a way that is that we want to be in, you know, and with discernment of like how do we actually relate to those things based on how we experience and attune ourselves to freedom in our own bodies through the like necessary thing that is our breath. But yeah, just thinking about that, because so much of my teachings around breath this year were through this course with Layla Martin and other resources, but it's primarily through this course.
Beautiful. Awesome. There's something you said that I would like to repeat out loud myself, but I can't remember the sentence. It was something like breath is the core element of our connection to all things. Was that it?
Yeah. Breath. Yeah, totally. Like breath is our core connection to ourselves and all beings.
Core connection. Yes. That's so beautiful. I mean, like, that's so beautiful. Everything that you just said resonates with me. Like all of that makes complete sense to me. It's just, it's just so beautiful. So beautiful. I'd love to ask if you're okay with that, how's that journey of, doing this work with, Layla and, you know, working on your sexuality how is that going? And like, what are you learning or what do you want to share about that?
Yeah. It's so juicy. it's so juicy. Like I also like, I've been inviting with other sisters in my life, this question actually, and, you know, also want to open it up to you if you want to share anything around your journey, but I'm not sure, but it's actually, something that I've been inviting more community, relational conversation around with my sisters, because, you know, the healing is in community and having these conversations, which is why I chose to do this course with a community of different people. And, you know, while, yeah, there's still a lot that I'm integrating, and I would say like like the most imminent thing that comes to me is like learning to be in consent with my own body, like really, really tuning into like, you know, what feels good in my body is something that, you know, there's so many women who perceive me like Audre Lorde and like I just think so much of like Audre Lorde's teachings on pleasure. And, you know, she speaks a lot about pleasure and the revolution and pleasure and, you know, like the politics of pleasure. And I think on a really intellectual, like, you know, I went to McGill for like women's studies partially and like have this huge community of huge in the sense that like most of my friends, I would say are like, would identify as feminist or like, leading towards like gender equity, like on a very like communal and in some ways intellectual. I just mean like I can work through in my head analytically like systems of gender equity. Like there's a lot that I've got down. And then on an embodied somatic level, like there's still shame that I hold in my body. There's still like this, there is still a lot of you know, not feeling desirable in my own body. There's that I'm healing with, healing from, and healing with. And, you know, coming into this course, I also realized how, you know, when reflecting on the relationships of sexual intimacy that I'd been in with people prior, like, there was in points in all of those relationships prior, there was still a lot of learning that I was in. There was still a lot of, like, not actually knowing intimately my own desires, my own, like, what my body appreciates. And it's interesting because I think with this course, we were invited into, like, such specific practices of, like, self-pleasure, such specific practices of breath work. And I was definitely resistant to some of them and felt like some of them were not, I was not ready for it. And then, but they planted a seed of, like, okay, what would it mean? Like, for example, I think prior to this course, I would not, like, I definitely was not in, like, I was definitely like, yeah, like, sex toys, if you're into that, like, go, you do you. But it's not something that I would, like, personally explore. But I did, like, get a jade egg. And I think midway into this course, I was like, okay, I'm going to get a toy. and, you know, I really developed a relationship with this toy, and it's been very healing. And why it's been healing is because I've developed a relationship of real consent. It's like, I had preconceived notions about, like, sex toys, or preconceived notions about the intentions, or, like, how people use sex toys. And there's, like, you know, at least 20,000 types of sex toys out there. So I think there was already just this judgment that I was already casting, even though I was very, like, yeah, if people want to use it, like, totally support them. But I didn't see myself as being in a relation with something that was not human, like, in that way. And it made me, like, break down my own judgments around, like, pleasure and how people connect with pleasure, and my own, you know, my own relationship with the possibilities of how to connect with pleasure. And, you know, I'm happy to say I'm actually, like, right beside my toy. like, I've developed such, like, a loving relationship with this toy, and it's, like, made out of, like, this, like, I also know the history of this toy, like, the mineral that it's made out of, and, like, I think there's an element of knowing, like, the earthly element of this toy. Also want to find a new word for it, like, of my kindred support of pleasure and healing. That's been really beautiful to connect with. So, you know, just in synthesis, it's been a journey, and one that I'm, like, dissolving my own judgments around how to connect with my own pleasure, really tapping into, like, how do I consensually connect with myself and explore, like, ways to connect with myself that are based on, like, this childlike curiosity and innocence that I feel is, like, tamed and domesticated when we are so inundated with visuals, imagery, with certain, like, you know, there's just a, you know, shall we say, like there's dominant narratives of how sexuality and pleasure exist. And so to actually just from a, like, yeah, from curiosity, from innocence, from, like, observation and exploration, just be like, oh, like, what feels good and loving in my body, and to talk to my body and to connect with my body through, like, intentional conscious awareness and non-judgment has been, like, a real beautiful way that I've connected with this course. And yeah, and also feeling, like, really, like, confident at times, depending on the relationship, but confident in general more in asking, like, you know, friends in my life, how is your healing journey with their sexuality, or, like, what is your relationship like with your own sexuality, if you want to share and it feels consensual and, like, loving and healing for you to share. And so, yeah, it's been nice being in community too with these conversations, and yeah.
That's awesome. That's so beautiful, and it sounds so fun, just getting to connect with that innocent curiosity that's so beautiful and playful. And, like, I picture the toy next to you. It's funny. It's so great. I love it. That's so great. Wow. And I love that this course that you're taking is in community. I think that for me, I think that's definitely, well, in general, community is such a big part of healing. It just doing things on a community level makes a big difference. I know in my experience. So I think that's really great that it's happening on the level of you as who you are and as an individual, as well as on the level of community and having these conversations. I think there's that. I just think that there's strength and healing in, sisterhood, brotherhood, whatever, just the tribehood, communityhood, all of that. It certainly for me brings up things. My journey in working through things around my sexuality and my sexual identity and just all of that has certainly been it's been a journey, and it continues to be a journey. And I'm always open to more and more of that. And I think in hearing you share about this course, I realize now that there's an opportunity for more community in that journey, because it has mostly been like very introspective work and the conversations around it. There's room for more. There's room for certainly much more. So I feel called to having more of those kinds of conversations and sort of sitting in community with that. As far as my it's sort of, there's a part of me that feels that, I have been doing the work around that and continue to do the work. And there's also the part of me that feels that, doing that work sometimes doesn't have to be the focus in like a specific period of time. Whether that's because it just logistically, it like some courses are inaccessible or some things are just inaccessible, or there's just not as much time to devote to that. So there have been periods of time in my life where I dedicated, and I was sort of focused on doing that work, and periods of time where it wasn't necessarily that it wasn't necessarily something I worth, but there is something that I wanted to share that what you were saying brought up is for me in my experience, and I'm sharing this from a place of A, being seen and being heard, and B, also to reflect back to anyone listening who maybe needs to feel seen and needs to feel heard in this regard. When you said innocent curiosity, the innocent curiosity, that brought me back to being a child myself and having innocent curiosity. And unfortunately it happened. There was sexual abuse in my journey as a child, and so what that brings up for me is one, I know that innocent curiosity is there. I also know that there was damage that happened with that innocent curiosity, because that innocent curiosity was, felt taken advantage of and felt sort of tricked into doing something that then, was presented as, very wrong. And so there's definitely like there's this balance of carrying both of those things together. And I just wanted to share that because I think it's important for those kinds of things and in general for all of us to be seen and to be heard and to feel seen and feel heard, and to reflect that back to each other. So I thought I'd take a moment to share that and also say thank you for sharing what you've shared. I think it's an invitation for me to do this work more on a community level.
Yeah. The communal part is the communal part is such a powerful part And yeah, thank you for also sharing your experience. There's so many different experiences that inform our healing journey in terms of sexuality. And it's there's not a specific word that's coming to me, but it's real. It's just so real that there are so many experiences of unconsent, sometimes violence, sometimes harm, sometimes manipulation of power relations that are embedded in how people have experienced, how we have experienced sexuality. And to be able to honor that in our experience of healing is so important. And to be able to name it and to share it in community is also really powerful. And so I just want to acknowledge and honor that you're open to doing that. And there's so much healing in the communal part of people who, whether or not they've experienced that, to be able to witness someone else be kind of ready to share and to just to share that in community is really there's no adjective right now, but it's something that for me is really I don't want to put words to it, but it's something that I'm just honoring. I'm honoring as you share. I'm just reminded of all the healing and community that I'm hopeful that we're holding space for just by having these conversations and this time of quarantine and of isolation, it is what it is. And as we transition out of 2020 within this construct that is time, I'm really asking myself, how can I be more in relation with these conversations of healing, hold space for myself fundamentally to be in a good place to invite these conversations in my life where I can share truthfully and share my energy in a good way. And I just want to extend thanks again for you just holding this series of conversations, because they're conversations that I want to have more in my life for sure. And I'm just witnessing the healer in you as you invite these conversations for community healing and share your own journey. I definitely as I was preparing for this, I'm I want to interview Gabrielle. it activates a part of me that has been also thinking about being in just these authentic real conversations with sisters and siblings of all genders in my own podcast project for the past couple of years. So it's activating me and inspiring me and allowing me to witness the healer in you and having these conversations and activating the healer in me and all of us. So salamat. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome, and thank you. And hey, I'm whenever you start a podcast, please count me in. I'd love to be a guest.
Yay.
Oh yeah, these conversations are definitely healing and beautiful, and just the space to connect and create that space together is such a wonderful thing to be participating in. And community is just, I don't think it occurred to me until probably this year and to the same degree how much I value community and how much I gain and how much I gain not only in what I receive, but in what I'm able to give and what I end up giving. It's just an incredibly it's been a very profound remembrance of the beauty of community, and it's almost like that there's the part that's beautiful, and also there's the part that for me feels like an inherent need, mm-hmm. like a need that's part of this body that I am. There's a need for community. It's like a biological like a biological need, like water and breath. Community is part of what for me feels like embodying a holistic experience of life, and so it's just been beautiful to reach out to people and stretch my arms out and say, hey, come and be in community with me, if only for like this space that is this episode of a podcast, and then for people to reach out right back and say, yes, I'm so in for doing that with you. That is such an incredibly beautiful thing, and it's such a like beautiful place to be in. And you know, there are many things that this pandemic has brought on and certainly stirred and made transparent in some ways. And it's also been such a beautiful birthing of new things, remembrance and reminders of new things. And yeah, I'm just thank you for coming. Thank you for doing this. And you're welcome to come back anytime. And you're welcome to have me as a guest or in any other capacity.
Amazing. I will keep you updated. I'm sure, and I'm sonically spell casting it into existence. Like this podcast is birthing, in divine timing, and looking forward to a conversation there and conversation, in the spaces beyond the podcast. And yeah, also would open to continuing these conversations. I feel also deeply and affirm your need and my own for community, this biologically and also, ancestrally, spiritually human wired, galactic wired need for connection. Mm. So just honoring that and affirming it and affirming our connection. Thank you for connecting today. This is this is like a way to start off my day, also inspiring me to actually go out and take a walk after like now 7 days of being inside. So yes. I'm gonna do that.
Yes. I found that after a podcast, it's really nice to go for a walk. It's really, really nice. Go and integrate it with the world. It's so beautiful. You're gonna love it. Oh man, thank you. Enjoy that walk of yours.
Thank you, Salamat. And thank you to, I feel like just the lands that are like between us. I'm just imagining now the geography between like Barrie and Scarborough. And I'm like, thank you, lands, for connecting us. Thank you to our ancestors for bringing us here. just thanks in all directions to all beings for us being here. I hope you also get to have any walks that you need today. And look forward to connecting more. Ingat, salamat. Have a good day.
And that was intuitive session number 6. What a beautiful conversation, man. What a beautiful conversation. So, so grateful for Shaw, for the soul, for the energy, for the love, for the kindness, for the community that she brought to the space today. So grateful and so looking forward to more of those conversations. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you got I hope you heard something like I did that was exactly what I needed to hear, or exactly felt like a gift to me. I hope this was certainly a gift to you too. Until the next episode, I look forward to hearing your feedback. I look forward to having you on the podcast. Please do listen, please do share, and
please do join me in these conversations. Let's create, let's play, let's co-create, let's be together in community. Until next time, thank you for tuning in.